Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome on to this Thursday edition of Sports Talk. Nice to get a little break from all the traffic and weather and everything of the nastiness and news and get back to a full Sports Talk show. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettelier, also Charlie Long, bringing it till 8 p.m. this evening. Although, Mike, I just saw the Pelicans injury report for tomorrow night's game. Guard DeJounte Murray is dealing with right elbow bursitis, and center Yves Missy, non-COVID illness. They're probable for the game, but forward Zion Williamson is listed out for the contest due to return to play reconditioning from illness. Pretty unreal with this team, the way they continue to baby him, I feel.
I don't know what more to add to that, Steve. I'll be honest with you. We've seen this. It's continuous with Zion, and we see the impact when he's out on the court. I mean, he's a superstar player when he's out there. The problem is to get him out there. I mean, that has become a major issue here, and that's all on Zion now, okay? People want to point fingers and accuse this one and that one of not knowing how to. No, he's got to take some responsibility. This is why I think he feels some entitlement to, okay, I don't want to play when I don't want to. If you're sick, you're sick, okay? And nobody knows how sick you are or what kind of conditioning you're in other than yourself. But we've seen this script way too many times, way too many here with Zion. And again, just from everywhere I go, it's the same thing about, Mike, when is this going to end? And my thing is, it's not. Okay, I don't see a thing where all of a sudden he's going to say, okay, I'm ready to roll. And I'm going to try to play through, maybe I'm not in the best conditioning, or I maybe feel a little bit ill. That's not going to change with Zion. You got what you have with him. An unbelievably talented player. Unreal. I mean, and everybody you talk to NBA-wise will say the same thing, that when he is such a tilt-the-court player, but managed to get him on the court. And that, to me, is that's all on Zion.
Yeah, I know.
You've
said it many times, too. It's kind of like, you know, the high-ticket sports car. It's real pretty to look at, runs great, but not always, you know, reliable.
Yeah, because I've been there, done that with that sports car. you know, man, it looks nice, and you roll around with it. Man, when it's running good, man, it's really great. But it's been way too much time in the shop with one little thing after another. And so you understand what you have here with Zion, and that's why it's such a difficult decision, because if you deal him off somewhere, and then that measure of maturity kicks in, and you watching him, just sort of dominate this league, and you were like, man, what the, you know, how did that happen? Why didn't it happen here? But you understand what you're dealing with here with Zion, who, again, I think he's the most gifted basketball player that's ever put on a Pelicans uniform. You know, you look at what Chris Paul did, what Anthony Davis did, tremendous players. Zion's more talented than those guys, but they were more reliable. They were always sort of more reliable. Now, Anthony Davis at the end, you saw that wasn't quite the case, but
right.
he pretty much answered the bell. With Zion, man, when he's out on the court, it's like, you know, you mesmerize with him. That how big an athlete and how well he can run and how talented he is in every aspect of basketball. But, you know, you're not seeing him out on the court much. So, again, he's like the sports car I once had. He spent a lot more time in the shop than I did on the road.
Well, Mike, we'll take a break. When we get back, we'll back onto some more NFL talk with one of our favorites. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth will join us right here on Sports Talk. So stay tuned here on WWL after the break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Thanks so much for the time, Mark. Appreciate you adjusting on the fly after we had a little bit of a weather incident on Tuesday. Happy you could make it today, though. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. I saw the ice skating in the streets and throwing snowballs in New Orleans. I mean, how crazy is that? Hey, Mark, I live on the bayou in my side yard. I got 8.5 inches of snow piled up along the fencing, along the pasture property. I got about a little over 11 inches of snow. And it is, I've lived here all my life. I'm over 60 years old, never seen anything close to that.
Yeah, it's incredible. It better warm up before the Super Bowl because I'm coming out there and I need it to be warm. So it's all, hey, it's all about me. The weather's about me. And when I go to New Orleans, I'm expecting it to be nice. I just want you guys to know that.
Mark, when you look at the Eagles-Commanders game, we've talked so much about what Jaden has brought to the table. And I remember you guys did a couple of early games with Jaden Daniels. And Jen Hale, her and I were speaking about Jaden. I told her, Jen, you see the product on the field and just how talented he is. But really what's impressive is how he handles himself almost like a pro off the field. His work ethic, his attention to detail. He's a natural leader. He's so calm and so poised under pressure. And I think we saw that throughout the season. But you saw it real early in the season when, you know, your crew was out there covering the Commanders for a couple of the early games. And what everybody would have thought back then, that they played the Lions in Detroit and they walk out of there a winner. Now, you might have took the points in the Commanders, but to pick them to win that game, there's not a lot of people that really thought, unless you were a diehard Commanders fan, really thought the Commanders would go in Detroit and win that game.
Yeah, I'm shocked. The way that Detroit's offense has played all season long, and you know the way they've controlled the line of scrimmage and run the ball, and I knew injury-wise on defense they're going to have a tough time, but I just figured that offense would be able to hang, you know, enough points on them. And 31's a pretty good number, but, you know, when you give up 45 or whatever it was, it just is insane. And, you know, it's really interesting. I went back and looked at that game. I looked at all of Jaden Daniels' throws. And there's a narrative out there, and on the broadcast they kept talking about, I think it was Tony Romo talking about the triple option and how, he's these bubble screens and these triple option throws and all that stuff. I went back and looked at all his completions of, I think it was 28 or 26 completions, something like that. There was 24 of them or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact number from the pocket. Like when I went back and actually watched the coach's tape, dude, he is ripping it from deep in the pocket, five steppers with hitches, 7-step drops, and absolutely tearing him up down the field. He had a deep over to De'Ami Brown that was huge. Then he had a slot corner to De'Ami Brown that was a big throw. It was an unbelievable throw. He had just a bunch of deep comebacks, bunch of deep digs. I mean, the guy was phenomenal from the pocket. And when I went back and really watched the coach's tape, I'm like, this dude is not just running around, you know, the whole narrative, oh, he can run the ball and extend the play and all that stuff. My ass, man, that dude was cutting Detroit up from the pocket, and he was phenomenal. It was so cool to watch, and just to watch him grow from the beginning of the year until now has been just a true pleasure. He is legitimately having, now I've been involved in the NFL for 35 years as a player and an analyst. I have never seen his equal when it comes to a rookie quarterback. The guy's playing right now from the pocket like a 10-year vet.
Mark, it's unreal to watch him, but I'm going to flip over to the Eagles, and we know their offensive line is really the strength of their offense, and certainly with Saquon Barkley. But defensively, two guys I'll ask you about. One is Jalen Carter. And I found out about Jalen a little bit through Pete Jenkins, the old 83-year-old defensive line mentor. Kirby Smart would bring him in every year to work with the defensive lineman at Georgia. And he made the comment to me, Mike, I got a man-child on my hands in Georgia. His name is Jalen Carter. And he said when he's going to figure out that he can play every once in a while, and not just when he wants to, you're going to have a lot of difficulties trying to block him because he can take over a game. We saw it late, and he was dead tired. You could see he was huffing and puffing, but he made a couple of big plays late. And the other guy is Zach Bond, who is more of a special teams guy here, a specialty guy. it wasn't the right fit. The coaching staffs here under Sean Payton and Dennis Allen couldn't figure out exactly how to use him. Vic Fangio gets him in Philly, and I think he's had as good a year or better than any defensive player in the National Football League this year for what they asked him to do. So my comment to you, question to you is about watching Jalen Carter and Zach Bond and what they have meant to this Eagles defense.
Yeah, they've been huge. Jalen Carter has been unblockable the last part of the season and during these playoffs. I mean, he's just been unblockable. Such a big body, so athletic, so incredibly powerful. And Zach Bond is, you know, I mean, I just remember him as a special teams kind of, you know, relief guy in New Orleans. And then to see the success that he's had, he reminds me of a guy that used to play in Philadelphia that's bounced around a little bit, that plays for the Broncos now, Singleton, who was always kind of a special team, not quite big enough, not quite fast enough, not quite this enough, not quite that enough, always tried to make him a special teams player. And, you know, he always ended up finding his way into a starting lineup and then led the team in tackles. And finally, you know, the Broncos brought him in as a special teams player. And same thing, he became the starter after somebody got hurt, and he never relinquished it. They ended up paying him because he was great. Now he tore his ACL this year. But, like, those guys, when they find the right system and they get put into the right system, it's amazing what those dudes can do. And that's exactly, you know, what Zach Bond has done. And it's really, I mean, it's just really cool to see. And that guy just seems to have such a great sense of spatial awareness and where he's supposed to be and being able to read, you know, a defense and what they're doing. And it just goes to show you, like, sometimes it's fit. Sometimes it is the fit with the system and the coordinator or the linebacker coach that gives you, or whatever the coach is, the individual coach, that gives you a different perspective on the game. And I have said this my whole career, man. There are a ton of guys out there that had Hall of Fame, you know, Hall of Fame talent, but just never fit in they were never in the right place and never really, you know, became great NFL players. And so fits, that's kind of the dirty little secret, man. You got to be in the right fit, in the right system, and you've got to have people that can coach you up and help you, you know, reach your potential and your best. So obviously it's not derogatory, or it's not a knock on the coaches that were there before. It just is, you know, it just is, he's gotten into the right fit, and it's perfect for him.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie, what you got for Mile High Mark?
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to hop in here and ask you about the AFC Championship game. Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes is obviously the headliner. They've played three times in the postseason. And if you look at the numbers, Fox on NFL had this posted earlier. Josh Allen's played just as well as Patrick Mahomes in those three playoff matches. I mean, 1,030 yards to 1,011, Josh versus Mahomes. Both of them have nine total touchdowns. Allen has one interception, Mahomes has zero. It's pretty similar numbers, but Mahomes has come out on top every single time. And we've talked to different Buffalo beat reporters, and every time the Bills kind of fall short in the postseason, it's not really Josh Allen's fault. It's the defense kind of falls short and falls flat. But one thing that I saw, Mark, and this is what Buffalo is going to be looking to break this upcoming weekend, their last road playoff win was in 1993 when they won the AFC Championship game in Miami to get to the Super Bowl, one of those four straight Super Bowls that they lost. So they're looking to break a long trend. Yes, they've been successful at home in the postseason, but going to Arrowhead in Kansas City and playing Mahomes, as Mike always says, you got to beat the man to be the man. It's going to be a tall task for Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's, you know, obviously the Kansas City Chiefs are really good, and you know, and Patrick Mahomes is one of the best, and I think are the best. And I think the thing that's just really interesting, you know, and I've been fighting with Chiefs fans, you know, on X for the last couple of days, because, you know, nobody wants to hear about the discrepancy in penalties called.
Preach.
But it's remarkable. Like, it is remarkable. I did a deep dive. So in their last 11 playoff games, the Kansas City Chiefs have been penalized 36 times. Their opponents have been penalized 66 times.
And the Chiefs have been penalized for 305 yards, and their opponents for just almost just under 600 yards, like 550-something or something. Like, it's almost a 2-to-1 ratio.
That's embarrassing, Mark.
Yardage. What's that?
Just said that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's almost a 2-to-1 ratio in both yardage and in both number of penalties called. And then when you start really getting deeper into the weeds, and this is really interesting to me that, you know, this could even be a thing. But listen to this. In those playoffs, in the last 11 playoff games, which is the last four seasons, Kansas City has been, or their opponents have been called for 7 roughing the passer penalties. Kansas City has been called for 1. Kansas City, or their opponents have been called for 4 unnecessary roughness calls. Kansas City has been called for 1. The opponent has been called for 11 DPI or defensive holding calls. Kansas City has been called for 2. So it's not only, you know, it's the severity of the penalties are all going against the opponent. And, you know, I get if you're at home, you're going to get a call or two that go your way. But a 2-to-1 ratio, that's like, and I understand, and I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm not saying that people have it out, like the officials or the league is like, let's get Kansas City. Like, that's not the case. But I am saying superstars get friendly whistles. At the end of his career, Tom Brady, if he threw his hands up when he got hit and looked at the ref, they just automatically pulled the flag out. And so, like, it pisses me off. And so, anyhow, like I said, I've been fighting with Kansas City fans on X because they refuse to acknowledge it. But the bottom line is, that the Bills, I think, offensively are a better football team. I think their O-line is better. I think their run game is better. I think their red zone run game with the quarterback counters, the quarterback powers, all the quarterback runs they have installed makes them better. They're much better in the red zone, scoring at 70%+ of the time in the red zone at the number 2 team in the league as far as red zone scoring. The Kansas City Chiefs are like 22 in the league at 50, just over 50%. So I love that matchup, but the bottom line, when you play the Kansas City Chiefs, you better have a 2-score lead in the last 2 minutes of the game or you're in trouble, and you cannot, if you have a 1-score lead, you cannot let Patrick Mahomes have the ball last. Like, you have got to be able to run your 4-minute offense, you've got to be able to eat up the clock, and you've got to be able to end the game with the ball in your possession, because he's proven if you give it to him with 13 seconds or more, he's going to kick your ass, and he is that good. He really is. And so, like, it's a tall task to go to Kansas City and get a victory. But, you know, from my lips to God's ears, I hope it happens.
Mark, I think one of the things, and I'm not picking against Kansas City, but one of the things that gives Buffalo, I think, more than a fighting chance here, I think in the past, the Bills' running game was really centered around Josh Allen. One of the things Joe Brady did when he got there, and he had to relearn the league a little bit, because in Carolina, you know, he was there, you know, calling plays for the first time, and he also had a college head coach in Carolina, in Matt Rhule. I think he had to adjust what he was calling to the NFL version. And I see a lot schematics, a lot of the same things that he had at LSU running the ball, had a lot of success with Clyde Edwards-Helaire running it. He's doing that with James Cook, and, you know, he's got a couple of really good backup running backs. The running game is the big key here that they didn't have before. Their offensive lines improved, but they have a running game other than Josh Allen today.
Yeah, no, they have a really good running game. They're two tackles, Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown. Spencer Brown is one of the more underrated players in football. That dude is nasty, man. He plays. And same with Deion Dawkins. They've got a really good counter game. They've got a really good tackle trap game. They've got a really good gap game. But they've got also, you know, a good portion of zone. And it's interesting, when Brady was in Carolina before he ended up getting fired on Matt Rhule's staff, I was doing a Carolina game, and I ended up sitting with him and several of his coaches pregame for about 45 minutes. Not him individually with 45 minutes. He was part of that. You know, a couple guys would come in and out, and
but just talking about the run game. And, you know, it was really interesting because it was like a 45-minute tutorial, like, from my perspective, kind of philosophically, you know, what you have to be able to do. And Joe coming from the college game with the hash marks and everything else, the run game is just way different, you know. And you, so it was just really interesting to have that conversation about, you know, being under center and doing some things from under center, and how the hash mark changes because you don't have a wide side of the field, you don't have a short side of the field. It was a really, really interesting conversation, and, you know, and kind of that was part of his learning curve coming in, is understanding. And the same thing, I had this conversation with Cliff Kingsbury, the same thing about, you know, about coming in from college and thinking you could take a college scheme or system and run it in the NFL, and it doesn't work that way. It's completely different. And you've seen in their second stint, Joe Brady having all kinds of success learning the NFL game and how it differs from the college game. And the same thing with Cliff Kingsbury with Washington, using some of those collegiate kind of concepts, but then morphing them into what works in the NFL. And talking to Cliff, he said the same thing, man. The running game is what has changed my offensive play calling. He goes, getting Anthony Lynn, who was my former teammate in Denver, who was the head coach of the Bills and the Chargers, and has like, that guy's knowledge of the running game is as good as it gets, putting him on the staff and really understanding the philosophy has helped him as well. So really cool for Joe Brady to kind of go through that learning curve. And, you know, you get kicked in the shins a little bit and you get fired and you have to go back. And then, you know, you come back in and you have a better idea of what you want to do, what works, what doesn't work, and how you exploit that. So Joe Brady, big time performance as a coach for those Buffalo Bills and what they've done and the way they've implemented that offense.
And, Mark, what's your gut telling you about this weekend's games? Who are we going to end up seeing coming to New Orleans at the end of this?
Well, listen, I mean, I'm with you. I understand, like, I don't want to bet. I hate betting against the Chiefs, but, man, I am rooting so hard for the Buffalo Bills. And I do think they're a really good team. I think it's going to be a great game. But I'm taking the Bills mostly just because I hate the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'll take the Bills. And then as much as I'd like to see my former team make it in Washington, you know, we talk about the quarterback, and he's the big X factor. Momentum's a big X factor in Washington. But when I look at lines of scrimmage play, and I always look at lines of scrimmage play, Philadelphia's line of scrimmage are dominant. Their O-line is dominant. Their run game is dominant. Their defensive line is dominant. Their front seven is dominant. So I'll take Philly over Washington, and I'll take the Bills over Kansas City.
Mark, I definitely understand the hatred of the Chiefs. Our Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, that works with us, he will never, never pick the Dallas Cowboys in any game.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I don't. Yeah, I hate them, too. There's a long list of the teams I hate.
Always appreciate your time, Mark. Have a great one. Thanks for being flexible with us.
You got it, guys. Take care.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast, where you can hear more of them. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get into our Pick 2 segment for this weekend's games coming up, like we were just talking about. Kansas City Chiefs versus Buffalo Bills and Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Washington Commanders. Right back after this on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk, getting into now our Pick 2 segment as we make our selections for this weekend's matchups. Charlie, let's recap it all, and how did things end up after last week's games and also national championship?
Guys, I always get kind of sad when we get down to Pick 5 and then Pick 2 and then Pick 1 because football season's coming to an end. But, yeah, we're all the way down to Pick 2, the conference championship games this past weekend. As for a recap, I didn't have a great week. Bobby didn't have a great week. We both went 2-3 in those 5 games. Steve, you won the week going 4-1, and I'll recap our picks.
No wonder it snowed.
And Mike went 3-2, so he was right behind you. The Chiefs went through for all of us -8. That worked out even with that late safety. They won by 9, so they covered the 8-point spread. The Lions, oof, yeah, that was bad for the three of us, but Steve, you had the Commanders covering that 9.5-point spread, so that worked out for you. The Eagles, Mike, I was just talking with you about this all fair. They hooked us. Man, 6.5-point spread. They won by 6.
Come on, kicker. Hit the extra point.
Yes, exactly. It's unfortunate. And then the Ravens-Bills game, Mike was the one that believed in the Bills, and it worked out for him. And then wrapping everything up, Ohio State, all of us picked them to cover the 8-point spread against Notre Dame. Got off to a great start. Got a little bit sketchy in the second half, but Ohio State brought home the bacon and won by 11 points, covering that 8-point spread. So, recapping our current standings, guys. I'm at 67-58. Mike is at 63-62. Bobby's at 56-69. And Steve, you are at 61-64. So, two games this week. NFC Championship game is the first one on the docket. The 6-seeded Commanders, Jaden Daniels and Washington, head to Philadelphia to face the 2-seeded Eagles. Philly is 6-point favorites at home.
Hey, give me the Commanders and the points. I think the Eagles win this game. But if you look back during the season, you know, these games were close between the two of them. I think Jaden can keep it close. But the Eagles are the better overall team. And I hate to pick against Jaden. But I'm going to go with the Commanders and the points with the Eagles with the win.
I'm going to roll with my Philadelphia Eagles in this match. I'm a little more confident against the Commanders, maybe because they are an NFC East matchup, but Jaden Daniels definitely been having a hell of a year. Just think Cinderella's, it's time for the clock striking midnight
right
for the Commanders in this matchup, so let's roll with Philly.
So I got Abear's pick, and I've also got Bobby's score prediction. He sent that to me as well.
Okay.
He's got the Eagles winning this game 27-20, so covering the 6-point spread. Steve, you said you have the Eagles as well, right? And
yes.
I will also take the Eagles in this matchup. And in all honesty, Mike, this is my hope. You know, I picked against them last week. I'm picking against them this week. I hope that Jaden can keep proving everybody wrong and keep this train rolling. But
if it's 26-20, it's a push for Hebert.
27-20.
Oh, 27.
Did I say 26-20?
I think so. Maybe I misheard.
Apologize. It's 27-20 was what Bobby had officially predicted for that game. I kind of agree with him. I think it's going to be close, like maybe a touchdown type of game, similar to what it was this past weekend when Philadelphia hosted L.A. It's maybe going to be a 6 or 7-point game, so it might be a push, and then that would work out for us. I'm going to take the Eagles. I know that second game where Jaden Daniels won the game-winning drive against Philadelphia, it was all exciting, and it was one of the greatest games of the entire NFL regular season. But I think when we were talking with Kelsey Nicole Nelson, she brought up a great point that was against Kenny Pickett. I don't know how healthy Jalen Hurts is in this game.
True that.
That's what scares me.
Yes, and I understand that point, Mike. But what also scares me is that Eagles defensive line against that Washington offensive line, especially without Sam Cosmi, who got injured this past week, one of their best offensive linemen. So Jalen Carter, that Eagles defensive front, scares me too much to take Jaden. I do hope that Jaden Daniels and the Commanders win this game and move on to the Super Bowl. And he would make history, guys, as we mentioned, becoming the first rookie quarterback to ever start in the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
Fingers crossed. I promise you my fingers are crossed for the Commanders, but I will be taking the Eagles minus 6. Then we got the AFC Championship game, guys. The Bills, the 2-seed at the 1-seeded Chiefs, the nightcap on Sunday. Kansas City, 2-point favorites.
You don't have a gun big enough to put to my head for me not to pick the Chiefs. I'm just telling you, you not won a single dime if you bet against them in the AFC Championship game. The only guy that caught him really was Joe Burrow. That was it. Other than that, he's kind of rolled. I think their defense is underrated for what they do. And man, Chris Jones, we talk so much about Jalen, but to me, the comparison to Jalen Carter is really Chris Jones. They both sort of the same guy, just that Chris is a little bit more mature. You see him play hard, much more than, say, Jalen. But, man, Kansas City, to me, I think this is the best shot the Bills have because they do have a running game, but I ain't putting a nickel against Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs.
As I mentioned, guys, the last time the Buffalo Bills won a road playoff game, all the way back in 1993.
Ouch.
Listen.
I was a senior in high school.
And I texted that to Hebert, and he texted back that I was still playing then. Wow. And he was so stunned by it. No, guys, I mean, I'll give Bobby's pick first here because he actually has the Bills covering the 2-point spread.
What?
But he's got, this is his pick, he's got the Chiefs winning 24-23. So he's got the Chiefs win, but the Bills barely cover.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
That sounds like an Hebert pick here.
That is Bobby's pick. He's got the Chiefs winning 24-23. So technically the Bills would cover that 2-point spread, even though they wouldn't win the game. I'm with you, Mike. I'm picking the Chiefs here. I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes. I just can't do it. I, like Mark Schlereth, will be rooting heavily for the Buffalo Bills in this matchup, but I'm not willing to pick the Bills. And I really do hope that it is a Buffalo Commanders Super Bowl, right? So this is kind of me playing both sides of the coin. I hope my picks lose this week, guys, but this is just what I think is going to happen.
I'm seeing an Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl rematch. I got the Chiefs as well. There's no way I can go against them. And you put up the, you know, mentioning those numbers, the last Buffalo Bills playoff win on the road being 1993, that's pretty steep. I guess the Kansas City machine keeps on rolling, and whatever ends up standing in their way seems to just miraculously, it's like the Red Sea with Moses just parts, and it's wide there for them.
Mark made a good point as well, though, about the officiating in these Kansas City playoff games.
That,
guys,
too.
It was ugly against the Houston Texans. I was infuriated by the first rough in the passer call on Will Anderson, and then there was another bad one where Mahomes is just kind of scrambling around. He can run out of bounds. Instead, he baits two defenders, slides late, and then gets the penalty. I can't stand it, man. And he's going to get that flag. It's just how it happened. So the Bills' defense is what worries me in this one, guys, because you saw Lamar Jackson and the Ravens' offense against them last week. When they weren't turning the ball over, they were able to move it effectively against the Bills.
For sure.
And I don't know if I'm willing to count on Kansas City having a bunch of turnovers in this game to keep Buffalo in it. So give me the Chiefs -2. However, as I mentioned, I will be heavily rooting for the Buffalo Bills.
That is our Pick 2 segment. Like Charlie said, sadly, we're down to two games this weekend that we'll be keeping an eye on the AFC and NFC championships before the big one coming February 9th right here in the Caesars Superdome. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll wrap things up right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. A reminder for everyone, if you've been cooped up all week and want to get out the house, have some fun, you can join the Voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and myself for a special edition of Sports Talk tomorrow night at Boomtown Casino in Harvey. That'll be from 4 to 7. We'll talk about the Saints' search for their next head coach. Who do you like to see leading the black and gold next year? Plus a conference championship preview of Kansas City and Buffalo and Philadelphia versus Washington. Which teams do you have headed to New Orleans for Super Bowl? Countdown to the championship games and the biggest game in football with Mike Haas and me, Steve Geller. Boomtown Casino on the best bank in Harvey. That's tomorrow, 4 to 7 p.m. and right here on WWL. After the news break, we'll be getting into some Pels talk. Chrissy Smith, podcaster and writer for The Know, will help us break things down about their upcoming matchup in Memphis tomorrow night. And then all-pro linebacker Sean Merriman will join us 6:30 talking about the conference championships as we get ready for Super Bowl action coming February 9th. We'll be back after this on Sports Talk, so stay tuned after the news right here on WWL. Who dat?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.